The first reading, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and, falling on his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up, I myself am also a human being." Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shares no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded at the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Taste and see.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. The word of the Lord.
My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love than this. No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I call you my friends because I have told you everything that I heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you. And I appointed you to go out and to bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you. Love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the 45-minute homily. Are you excited? Roman, you don't look excited. Not at all. You want to tell everybody now, Roman, you want to be a priest? Do you? I still hear that miserable tang. Turn off that phone. Anyway, ting, ting, ting. Is it one of you that have that little phone that's going ting, ting, ting?
I don't have a phone.
You don't have a phone. Are you sure? Is it hiding somewhere?
No.
Oh. Anyway, what was the gospel about today? Does anybody know? I preached on this at the adoration on Thursday. Anybody here at adoration? It was fantastic with all these people here, right? And all the people here, and so I gave it along. I was smacking the thing now. I put Jesus up here in a thing. It was Thursday night. We for you here. Good job. You're going to be such a great priest, Roman. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so what was the gospel about? Second reading was about the same thing. It all has the same word in there. It begins with an L. Love. It was fantastic, huh? And First Communion, you see, too often people go through their First Communion. It's just a ritual. And everybody takes pictures. And they'll keep these nice booklets I put together. They'll keep them in your thing when you're an old person. You'll say, oh, look at this, my First Communion. I remember that Father Richards. He used to yell a lot, right? But I'll be gone in a couple months at another place. And so you're going to get a nice priest after me, right? After all these years of people praying for a nice pastor, they'll finally get one. Isn't that exciting? What, Roman? Have you been praying for a nice pastor? Good job. Anyway, so it's all about the love thing, huh? And love isn't when we tiptoe through the tulips and we're always gentle. Jesus wasn't always that way. But he always put other people first. And so what happens at your First Communion is this is how God shows to you that he loves you. Because love just isn't words, but it is. We'll hear it in a minute. Love is giving away your life for somebody else. And so at every Mass, that's what Jesus does for you. He gives away his life. Now, again, we've talked about it many times, but if you look way up here, kids, and you go right to the very top of this thing, there's a bird. Anybody know what that bird's called? What is it? A dove? No, that's the one underneath the feet of Jesus. Correct. But underneath the dove of the Holy Spirit, there's another one there. You know what that is? Begins with a P. No, not a pigeon. That's good. No. You were going to say pigeon, too. Yeah, the holy pigeon's up there. That's what it's called a pelican. Now, the reason it's in the center of our altar up there is because the tradition of the pelican is when the pelican's mother has nothing else to feed her children are dying, she pulls out pieces of her own flesh and she feeds her children and she dies so that her children can live. And this is what Jesus does for us, that he feeds us forever. So he goes to the cross and he dies, and then he feeds you and all of us here with his precious body and blood. Now, some people go, do I have to go to church? And we don't get what happens. Every time you go to church, Jesus dies, and then he feeds you with himself so you can live forever. Jesus makes us that promise, right? If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. Now, what happens if you stop eating? What happens? You die. Is it God's fault? No. So when we stop going to Mass, what happens? We die. Why? Because we don't eat the body and blood of Jesus. Again, it isn't just a bunch of guys and girls coming together for Mass once a Sunday. Might be boring. You like the priest, you don't like the priest, you like the homily, you don't like the homily. The main thing about Mass is that Jesus Christ, our God, will die and feed you and me so we can live forever. There's so much to be grateful for. And that's why he says you must love. And so what God teaches us is that we have to love like him. And so he tells you at the beginning of the gospel today, what's the first sentence of the gospel as you look intensely? What's it say? Jesus says what? As the Father loves me, I love you. So here, you came to church today, and Jesus, in his word, because every time the gospel is proclaimed, it's his word, and he looks at you today and says, I love you. When I was ordained 35 years ago, before all of you were even a thought in your mommy and daddy, I remember I was sitting there getting ordained that night. It was a Friday night, and the bishop had made us lobster, because it was a Friday, lobster and asparagus. I hate lobster, and I hate asparagus. It was disgusting. I thought I was going to puke on my night of ordination. That would be bad, huh? That'd be like puking on your first communion. That'd be terrible. Anyway, so here I am, and the bishop's asking me. I lied on my first day I was going to be ordained because he says, how do you like this, Larry? Oh, fine, bishop, and I'm eating. Yeah, I still remember it. But anyway, that night I asked my bishop, Bishop Murphy at that time, who had ordained me, and I says, Bishop, how come Jesus tells us that he loves us, but never once at the Mass do we ever say to him, I love you back? He goes, I don't know, Larry. I don't know. But it's always been one of my things. Jesus tells us he loves us all the time, but we don't tell him we love him back because it doesn't become a relationship to us. It becomes just something we do, and okay, they told me if I miss Mass, I'll go to hell. Okay, I don't really want to go to Mass, but I don't want to go to hell, so I'll go to Mass. Instead of this, Jesus, I'm here because I love you. And so never lose that. Where you learn that you just, every time you come to church, say, Jesus, I love you. That's why I'm here. I'm not here so I don't go to hell. I'm here just to show you that I love you. And when Jesus then comes and he feeds you with his precious body and blood as he's going to do today, when you go back and sit down, what do we do at this church? You've done it all your lives if you've been here. After communion, what do we always do here? We sit back and we let Jesus hold us. And when Jesus holds you, remember I've told you every week since you were born, if you've been here, every week I say, sit back, close your eyes, and say, Jesus, hold me. And then I say, put your head on his chest, listen to his heartbeat, and every time his heart beats, he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. So when Jesus tells you you love him, at the end of that time, just say, Jesus, and I love you too. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And let that become real, huh? But then Jesus tells us that we have to love each other the same way. So last night I was in Providence, Rhode Island. I talked to a bunch of old men up there. They were. Anyway, so there's two at the cathedral. And I says, listen to what God says. He says that I love you, and we must be people that love him. That's how we prove that we love him, because he said, I love you. And then I says, has Jesus ever told us he loved us? And they all go, And I said, John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. And then he says, love one another as I have loved you. So what do you think that means when Jesus tells us we got to love each other? This is his only commandment, John 13, verse 34. My only commandment is you love one another as I have loved you. So what should we tell the people that we love? What? Sure. Say, I should tell people I love them every day, right? So every day you should look at your mommy and daddy and say, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. Right? And you all do that, right? Uh-huh. You can't lie to a priest, you know, in church. That'd be horrible. Just every day for the rest of your life, you tell your parents you love them, right? Years ago, I used to be Our Lady of Peace, huh? Many years ago, 35 years ago, and I had the biggest youth group. Can you imagine? I used to work with kids. It was something. Now I'm kind of old. But anyway, then, and there was one kid that became a professional football player. And I used to take the kids out and we'd go to the Pittsburgh Inn and we'd get pizza and wings. You like pizza and wings? My favorite. Anyway, so we'd sit there. And so I was typing at a typewriter. Any of you know what a typewriter is? No, I didn't think so. It's like a computer, but forget it. You have to put paper, forget it. Anyway, so I'm typing at my typewriter, and as I'm typing at my typewriter, this kid was a big talker, big football player, and he was a big talker. And all of a sudden, he got real quiet. And I turned, I stopped typing because we were getting ready to go out, but I says, what? And this big kid started to sob. You know what it means to sob? Cry uncontrollably. He couldn't breathe. He was crying so hard. And I sat there, and I'm not real good with that kind of stuff, you know. So I sat there and said, what's the matter? What's the matter? Okay, shh, shh. What's the matter? What's the matter? What are you crying for? And he looked at me, and he said, Father, I'd do anything if my dad just told me once that he loved me. And his father went to all his games. His father went to everything. But his father never told him that he loved him. couple years later, he called me and says, Father, my dad's dying. Can you come and anoint him? And I went and I anointed this man's father. And a little bit later, he died. It wasn't because I anointed him. It was because it was his time. But anyway, at the funeral, I went up to this big football player, big guy, and I said, so-and-so, did your dad ever tell you that he loved you? And this big man starts shaking. He said, never, Father. The only thing this kid ever wanted from his dad was for his dad to tell him that he loved him. Parents, God has given you these children to love them. And you got to tell them every day that you love them. Even if you're mad, even if they're not perfect children, but these are all perfect children, correct? Yes. Every day, your job as a man, as a woman, as a mother, as a father, is to tell your children that you love them. Every day for the rest of your life. And let me tell you, if you do that on your deathbed, you're not going to say, I can't believe I told my kids that I love them every day. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But if you don't, when you're taking your last miserable breath on this earth, you'll regret your miserable life. And you'll say, why was I too proud? Why was I too afraid to tell my spouse and my children that I loved them every day? This whole thing that we do here as a church is about love. We love God first, and we love each other. Every community got to be a community of love. So, let's today, as you get to receive the first communion for the first time, and you know that Jesus Christ loves you and gives his life for you, that you decide that that Jesus that comes inside of you now, you're going to let him live and love through you so that you will all be people of great love one day. You'll tell every day your parents you love them. When God gives you a wife or a husband, you tell them that you love them. When God gives you 10 children named Larry, 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 you tell them every day that you love them. Unless you become priests and nuns, that'll be fantastic. Then you have to tell everybody else. And if you do that, you'll live a great life. And when you take your last breath, the world will weep because you people that get your first communion today and the rest of you were people of love. And you told the people you love that you love them just like Jesus. You got it? You get it? You gonna live it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. That was 13 minutes. It was much longer than normal. But it's First Communion, so we got to give it to you, okay? Let us now stand and let us profess our faith.